Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month. A savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
All right. So my manager and I have several different conversations, right?
Indeed.
Today is a special podcast entitled IG. Mm-hmm. John, could you please let the people out there listening know what IG means?
IG has several meanings, man. I mean, most people would think IG is Instagram, right?
Right. But it's not that.
It's not that.
At all.
There's a lot of game involved what we're giving you guys right now.
Mm-hmm.
Intellectual game right now.
Intellectual game. Yes.
You know, we feel like we have a lot of wisdom behind our conversations and behind our history. And shit, why not, you know, spill a little of this game to the folks out here? I think it's important.
Absolutely. So, you know, downstairs we were talking about home ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And just the community. And I have a friend who lives off of Manchester and Crenshaw.
Yep.
And I was amazed because he told me, like, I went to go visit him recently, and he said, yeah, you know, we had some Hasidic Jews that just moved into the neighborhood. Right. And I was like, you know, with the curly tail?
Sure.
He was like, yeah. And I said, so have you engaged your neighbor? Because it's just a neighborly thing to do, right?
Right.
He said, oh, yeah. And he said, when I engaged him, I asked him, you know, how did you and your family land here?
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, we could have bought a house in Hancock Park, but we probably would have been able to buy only one house.
One.
We came down here and purchased four houses.
By the block. Wow.
Right?
Yep.
Right? So I'm not saying that this applies to all African Americans, but sometimes, you know, Rick Ross said something, you know, sometimes you got to, you know, get out of the hills and come buy something in the flats.
Yep. Agreed. And there's a comfort level to how, you know, every other culture can move. I used to joke with my homegirl, like, you know, black folks are limited to where we can move and be comfortable for whatever reason. You know?
Correct. Wow.
OC's not, they're not fans of us. South Bay's not a fan of us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You could pick communities that really don't kind of want us there.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side, our other brother can move around, and we just kind of look at them like, well, what they doing over here?
Mm-hmm.
But they're the setup shop.
They don't get pressed at all.
They don't get pressed by the community, by law enforcement. They are comfortable.
Correct.
So they can bring four or five families over off of Crenshaw, Manchester, and we just stare at them like, what the hell are they doing over here? But they have a master plan.
But reverse, if your family and my family were to move into Hancock Park, and I'm not saying that this is indicative of everybody there.
Right.
But there's definitely going to be some constituents among the congregation that's like, what are y'all doing here? Because keep in mind,
yeah,
the house that Nat King Cole purchased,
mm-hmm,
in Hancock Park,
mm-hmm,
his neighbors put poison in a steak and threw the steak over the fence and poisoned the dog. You don't have to believe me. Do your own research.
Come on. This is Nat King Cole.
And that's and bro, Nat King Cole is like the classiest brother of all time.
Chestnuts. Come on.
Brother, roasting on an open fire.
You're not going to let Nat make it?
You're not going to let Natalie Cole, as beautiful as she was, you're not going to let her go to school up the street?
They just crooning. So don't let any rapper come in town.
Oh, my God.
Listen, we're limited. I always tell people, we're the minorities anyway. I think it's the math is the math. There's less of us to begin with.
Right.
So we don't have much. We start to talk about incarceration rates and redlining.
Oh, yeah.
All the things that really, really hinder us from growth financially.
Yeah.
We're challenged. So when they come in the communities, and they're coming, they want it back, right? We talked about that earlier in terms
yes.
of these areas that for years were primarily white. We were, you know, East Side, Central Avenue.
Yep.
Before the white flight.
Yeah.
Now they're coming back and getting comfortable.
And there was a point in time where you could move to Inglewood.
Sure.
There was a point in time where, you know, there were several parts of Los Angeles where were safe havens if you just want to rent.
Mm-hmm.
Because Los Angeles is a renter's metropolis for the most part.
Always will be.
You know yeah. what I'm saying? But like, you know, those said areas are now being redone, reimagined. Like, my sons play for an AAU team. And their practice facility was at Morningside.
Sure, the Bottoms. Right.
And I remember when I was younger, I had a sister and a brother. Well, actually, my father, prior to marrying my mother, he was married to this woman named Joy, and they had three children together, and they all went to Morningside. Mm-hmm. And I just remember going up to that school in, like, the early 80s and just how beautiful it was.
Yeah.
I mean, Morningside, like, even now, as like, you know, like, time has not been kind to it.
Sure.
But, like, even now, it's a beautiful, it's a spacious,
It's a big school.
And there's several different schools on that plot of land, right? Yeah. It's like the whole ecosystem of kindergarten, junior high school, and high mm-hmm. school, right? Mm-hmm. But what I noticed was, like, a lot of the buildings weren't touched.
Right.
So many, and the reason why so many buildings hadn't been touched is because the number of students that were going to that school at one time no longer go there.
Right.
It's like they disappeared.
Yep. Yep.
And
isn't that crazy?
But right around the corner, you got the new SoFi. You got all these beautiful places. So it's only a matter of time before it just trickles all the way back there.
Come on, man. The Olympics is coming in 2028. Listen, we were here during the 84 Olympics.
Yes, we were.
Right. So that was a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We can remember all night long, right? But we remember what the city looked like then and now.
Yes.
In the next 6 years, man, the city's going to look completely different.
Wow.
It's going to look, and Inglewood alone, like Inglewood's interesting because to your point, Morningside was a really cool campus. The Forum was iconic. Like you had all these really cool, iconic spaces, Hollywood Park for years, now SoFi.
Right.
It's so convenient to LAX right down the street, Prairie Century. Mm-hmm. That area is going to be different.
Yeah.
We got to be ready for it.
It is. Correct.
Some people be ready for it. They're coming, man.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's not they're coming, like it's like they're already here.
Yeah.
But this is what's interesting, and then we can move on to the next topic. You said that you have people from other ethnic groups that can come and just set up in the black community, right?
Sure.
So there is well-documented proof
mm-hmm.
that when we show up in these neighborhoods, it's people burning crosses. It's people throwing feces on your
yeah.
property. I mean, it's all kind of stuff that make you really want to whoop somebody's. I mean, rightfully so.
Right.
But what I find with us a lot of times, brother, is that it's like, y'all will be all right.
Yeah.
It's okay.
That's right. Yeah.
Y'all will be fine. You know what? And it's just to switch lanes just ever so slightly. The transatlantic slave trade. Mm. Yeah, that happened, but that was so long ago.
Yeah.
What you tripping for?
Erase it from the history books.
We're the, like, I feel, this is just my personal opinion, yeah. We are the only group that is expected to be extremely under, we are the woman of the relationship globally.
Right.
And when I say that, I know some women may take offense, but, like, sometimes in relationships, men may be like, you know what, I'm cool. And mm-hmm. the woman will be like, nah, let's
work it out.
Because, like, I feel for, by and large, and this is just my personal opinion, that women, like, you know, they fall where men can just, like, you know, you can love this one, you can like that one, you can like that one. Mm-hmm. But, like, women love.
Yep.
And black people love.
Yeah, that's the Christianity in us, too. We're forgiving.
So forgiving.
You know, listen, you get what you can handle.
Yes.
But we are human and we are getting tired. And I think a time has come where you're starting to see a little bit more rebellion against that.
Right.
Way of thinking. But circling back to you about women, and I talked to my lady about this last night, you know, women are the backbone of humanity.
Correct.
You know, they have the strength. They're always the smartest girls in school. The smartest people in school are the girls.
Correct.
So the fact that we think they can't run a company or a country is idiotic, because they definitely have the wherewithal and intestinal fortitude to run this damn place. I'd argue that if they ran it, we'd have a lot, you know, some of the issues we have wouldn't be here.
Yes.
But yeah, the expectations for black people to get over our ills
is instant.
It's instant. Like, you'll be cool.
Why are you tripping?
Yeah.
Why are you bring? And the thing is, if you counterclockwise that with any other group,
mm-hmm.
every other group goes hard.
Yes.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Yeah. And in addition to me going hard, we will dare you to say something to us.
Yeah, say something.
I dare you, because I'll shut you down.
Mm-hmm. In a minute.
So, like, you know, I did a post that I put up recently, and it was just like just a few words just mm-hmm. about our just about
dope.
Our culture.
It was dope. Yeah.
And like, I always feel like, you know, before I can say somebody else's house is dirty, I got to make sure my house is clean.
Sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But like, we have to just be a better. And I don't want to, I don't want people to feel like, oh, man, this dude is just on a.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
In a pulpit.
Happens
with the velvet outfit on with the trim on it. You remember the black church, bro?
Come on man. I went to many a revival,
bro.
Mm-hmm.
But like, we have to just, I feel we should just be better stewards of our culture.
Yeah,
everybody shouldn't be able to get into the culture just because they got a fade and some tattoos.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Like, bro, you got to like show me that, like, once you do get in, that if anything happens to people that are direct descendants of the whole vibration that you're on,
mm-hmm.
you better make sure that you are the first. You better make sure you're the zero person in line.
That's
speaking
right.
up.
How about that? Exactly.
Don't fade away into the cut.
No, speak on it.
I mean, like, that's real.
That's facts.
But we don't. But you know what though? It's not only in music. It's also in politics, because if you think about Kamala. I think a lot of black people felt that she would be, because when she was in them Senate hearings, talking to those other congressmen, she was like, she was literally like the black mama.
Yeah, she was like a junkyard dog.
I mean, she would just, I mean, like the like, and anyone who was raised by a black woman, had black women in their family, they just know that it's an energy that a black woman can give you that will make you just be like, oh, all right, I did everything. I'm copping plea.
Maybe you're right.
You know what I'm saying? You're but right. Like, it's like she, I was talking to one of my clients and I said that I don't know how the Democrats are going to reclaim the House, mm-hmm. because Kamala's not being groomed.
No. No.
It's like she was utilized perfectly for what she wanted. I mean, not for what she wanted, for what the mass structure wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And once they got it, it was like, all right, cool. We got what we want to go sit down.
That's right. That's right. The political expectations were a little unrealistic when it came to Vice President Harris. Okay. I don't know if we expect her to be Harriet Tubman. She's going to open up waves and free him over. It's like, it's not happening. It's not. She's hella handcuffed up in
there. They were. Yeah.
Hella handcuffed. And she had her own agenda. And I'm not mad at the sister. God bless her. She's HU and AKA Love. It's cool. Not mad at all. These politicians have their agenda. But, you know, it's bigger than just a general election. It's the local elections, right? It starts locally, and then it builds from the state level, and then we have to – the midterms are important. We ignore those. We just want to get a
– Not everyone.
Yeah, not we do.
Black people?
The midterms? We don't really come out, man. We don't come out. That's when we get slayed. When it's time to get the House – because we don't even think about the importance of those races, those congressional races, really dictate how things are done.
Bro, those are the most important.
Whenever
you see those props.
That's what I'm saying.
That's more important than the actual leader. And if it didn't show anybody, it showed. Listen,
mm-hmm.
I want you to earmark because I don't want to cut your wisdom, but I just want to get this out.
Right.
If you think about Obama and how he was handcuffed,
man.
They would not let him do anything because one, you're not even supposed to be in this office.
No.
A lot of them felt.
Sure.
But you trying to get in this office and actually do something?
And make some things happen?
They like, oh, absolutely not. So uh-huh. We're going to handcuff you with all of these, all the elections that we're talking about, those in-between elections.
Sure.
They went hard.
Big time. Big time. And after his first, he won in 08. In 2010, at the midterms, the Democrats got slayed. And they got slayed based upon his presence. It was just like backlash. You know, where's right. My man Van Jones said, white lash or something like that.
Right.
The reality is that's how it was. So mm-hmm. We have to understand the importance of those midterms. We got to get out and vote. You know, we can't just wait. You know, we like our slogans, our bumper stickers. It's America. Like, in every 4 years, it's like we have some type of slogan. I'm with Joe or whatever.
Hope. Right? Yeah, exactly.
You always had that stuff. Something you can put on your car.
Right.
But the reality is in the middle, it's like I always tell you about whether it's fashion, music, or politics. It's all about the middle.
Right.
Don't worry about the edges.
The bread.
Come on. New York and California, we're going to go where we go.
Right.
But you got to swing these people in the middle who are kind of on the fence. Like, I don't really know.
Right.
You know, it's all about a swing state. That's how life is. That's how fashion is. You know, business in general. Got to get them excited about it. We don't do a good job of that.
You do. Agree.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. I just think ultimately we got to do better. But to your point, circling back, you said, you know, it's like the thesis of this. Black folks are supposed to be Teflon. Like, you guys would be cool. And we're almost taught that from our family. Like, dude, you know, our love is different. Now, we're loving, but in the house, it's like, you'll be all right. You hear that all the time growing up. You'll be all right. Well, I mean, I'm not all right. I mean, maybe I need to talk to somebody
right now. Right.
Maybe, Pops, I kind of need a hug right now.
Right.
It's okay, Pops.
Right.
Tell me you love me, brother. I need that. I kind of need that.
More than you know, actually.
More than you know. So you think about relationships, and I've been in one. You know, you get a little older, and you maybe you're lost a little bit. It all circles back. It all starts with how you're reared, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You need that love, and you need that acknowledgement. Kills our community.
Well, I have a question for you,
yes,
and
sir.
This is a common sense. If you are at a park, and you're playing basketball,
mm-hmm.
and it's two teams, right? On the court, and then another 15 people show up, which is another three teams, mm-hmm. right? And you lose, but it's your ball,
mm-hmm.
right? If you lose and the other team comes on and they win two or three times, you're going to be upset naturally, right?
Sure.
So you're going to take your ball and go where?
Oh.
Okay. The reason why that's important is because when we're talking about any type of structure of importance, if you didn't help to found that, if you didn't help to cultivate that, if you are just a participant in it,
mm-hmm.
if you step out of line in it, you got to understand the people who run it are going to say, I want my ball and I'm going home.
And I'm taking it home.
So the way that you counter the way you react in that system properly is, you know what? Let me go make my own basketball.
Yeah.
Because they just don't make pigskin just for one type of people.
No.
you can go buy your pigskin, mm-hmm. find somebody who makes basketballs, mm-hmm. and they can make you your own special multicolored basketball. Easily. So if the person decides to take their ball and go home, you can say, you know what? Go ahead and go.
We got our own ball.
I got my own ball.
Got our own rock. Yeah.
And we're going to stay here and play.
Yeah, because we're better than you. You shouldn't have lost that game.
Don't fight that.
Ultimately, you shouldn't have lost that game.
You shouldn't have lost that game. Yeah. But, I mean, like, I say that because, you know, there's a there's just a lot going on right now, bro.
Let me tell you something. From Ye to like, yeah, this guy. I mean, oh, I didn't want to segue. You know, every time I talk about Ye, I feel like, damn, you know, last time we had a conversation, I was really – I defend him typically because I know there's some stuff going on in his head. And I've had friends like that that have to deal with different kind of illness, and it takes over you. So you're always sensitive to that, the realness of mental illness.
Yeah.
However, there's always this stuff that is just indefensible, right? I mean,
are you talking about the George Floyd?
That's ignorance at a high level and mm-hmm. disrespect.
Very disrespectful, specifically because he's from the same group that you're from.
Yeah.
No matter what he was dealing with, if he was on drugs or whatever, he didn't deserve to be in that position.
No, that he didn't deserve that. Nobody does.
Period.
And for us to watch that live and act like it didn't happen is just...
Come on, man.
Come on, brother. You can't be that guy. The t-shirt alone is troubling. Come on, man. Really?
You know what? You know what? You know, I watched the whole... I didn't watch the whole 3 hour. I believe it's 3 hour and 23 minutes.
That's good.
Yeah. I didn't watch all of it, but the one point that stuck out to me most is that, you know, he said that he was talking to his father, mm-hmm. and when he was talking to his father said, look, man, I understand you got a lot of point of views and a lot of your points are accurate, but you got to be a better orator.
True.
You got to learn how to deliver this message, because if you deliver the message and you're hitting on points, people can always be mad, but if it's rock solid information, you can't argue this. You can bring all the people out the woodworks you want to. Mm-hmm. But if this is rock solid and it's accurate intelligence, bring it to me.
It's funny. We'd probably prefer hearing it over a beat. right?
Yeah.
If it's in a jam, we might let him ride a little bit more because the track will keep us going. Like, well, see, this is kind of the banger.
But
when the music's off and you're just talking like we're talking.
Right. It's different.
It's different, man.
It's different.
It sounds different. It might be the same, but it sounds a lot different.
It hits different, too.
It hits different.
It hits
different.
Yeah.
And it's hitting us different. And we, you know, we respect what he's done musically. I think he's one of the best producers of all time in the genre. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. He's had some great albums. I bought a couple of them.
Right.
But at my age now, I can make a point and say, listen, man, I'm not trying to be a fan anymore. Like, that just doesn't make any sense, man.
Wow.
And we have to be better. Listen.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
All lives matter, man. We get that. We're just tired of telling people that ours do. That's all it is, man.
Mm-hmm.
We have like reminding you, like, I'm here. That's all we're saying. There's mm-hmm. less of us in America, statistically, and always have been. Mm-hmm. We've been disenfranchised.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's been thrown against us. And sure, a few people have made it out and done well, mm-hmm. you know, a small percentage.
Right.
And because we highlight those people, it makes it seem like everybody's cool.
Right.
But the truth is, not everybody's cool.
Right. But you know what? I have a question for you. Do you think that it is beholden to those, to the W.E. Du Bois has something called the Talented 10th?
Sure.
Right? So I'm calling those people who've like made it like mm-hmm. to the upper echelons in rooms where it's only one of us, because you know it can only be one. even though it's a whole pie, somehow we've been influenced to only think that like only this person or these few people can, like, not understanding, like, it's a whole pie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And guess what? Even after the pie is eaten, it's a grocery store right down the street. You can go make another pie.
It's plenty of opportunity to do this again. That's right. One at a time.
Okay. So my question to you is, do you think it is beholden upon our talented TEMF to, like, really, like, help with infrastructure?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I do. I think it's important. And that's the one thing culturally we've been weak at. You know,
infrastructure.
And a lot of it's just damn near genetic. You know, we tend to get what we get and we're excited and we're like, well, let me hold on to this. I don't want to lose it. Instead of spreading that game, that gospel, which is really what's required.
Right.
Like you said, your Jewish community, they're going to buy fork houses on the block.
Right.
Your Latino community is going to do that too.
Yes, they are.
And you're damn sure better believe your Asian community is going to do that.
Absolutely.
Right. The Middle Eastern as well. I got some great Middle Eastern homies. And that's how they think. They operate a certain way. And it's good. God bless them. You know, we have to follow that same model. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay to give up some of what you have so that somebody else can eat also. Like, it's okay. We're all going to eat.
Right.
You don't have to be that. You know, there's something about that. The level of opulence the people that do make it have. I see some of these cats on television, like, did you really need all that?
Right.
Like, and without even hating on their success, because I think it's dope that people have gotten to a certain point.
We got
to
stop that, too. Saying that people are hating.
No, it's not even about that. No. It's just being
accountable.
Yeah, and realistic, and, you know, just be smart about how we move. And it's okay. Be practical.
Right.
You know, we tend not to be pragmatic. Like, it's okay to say, you know what, I might not need this eighth car. Maybe what I'll do.
This eighth Phantom?
I don't know if I need that. This different color of the week Phantom.
Right.
Like, how about we invest some of those dollars into the community center, or how about we put back into this or school or just something?
Well, you talk about genetic. The relation of just chaos is so real, right? Because if you think about any of those African nations that were colonized, a lot of the people who colonized those places didn't leave what?
Nope. No.
They left no infrastructure on purpose.
Yeah, listen, on purpose.
But the thing is this. So this is what's so amazing about America is that post Reconstruction, we have an infrastructure because we had to have it because such horrific things were happening to us, whether it's tar and feathering, lynching, strange fruit,
come on,
Emmett Till's. Come on. Yeah, I mean, like,
Tulsa.
I mean, bro, Boley. I mean, so. You have all of these places where infrastructure was, and I guess the power structure was like, you know what, we can't have that.
Yeah, we can't have it.
But the thing is, we had it, but then it was like, you know what? Well, let's desegregate.
Yeah,
that's probably one of the worst things that probably ever happened to the American Black community.
Segregation, agreed.
Like, because it's no such real thing as desegregation, real. True. Because if you really think about it, bro, like, there's still schools where it's like my son's school is right down the street from a private school.
Yeah, Baldwin, sure.
And Baldwin is, I mean, like, if it's not 90%, it's predominantly Black. And it's a private school right down the block where it may be out of, you know, let's say there are 500 students, it may be 10 or 20 Black students.
Wow, that's a school off the corner.
Yeah, Willows.
That's right. Oh, on the side of La Cienega. Sure, yeah. Of course.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, like, just in terms of infrastructure, and I'm relating it just to chaos, those African nations that, you know, got their state and their countryhood, they have been in turmoil because of lack of infrastructure.
Sure.
I think that we in America sometimes, well, not sometimes, because we're both Black men, we know what it is.
Yep.
We suffer from lack of infrastructure here, too.
Mm-hmm. We do.
But the thing is, we have the means to do it.
Yes.
But we don't. Why don't we? I don't understand that. Why don't we? Because the thing is this. The reason why Boley and Tulsa happened, because if somebody is really like the diabolicalness of somebody who will come in and purposely tear your whole community down, that is pervasive, because if this is allowed to actually become full grown, then we don't got a chance.
No, we're out, man.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So knowing that, now you have the, I'll never forget the LA riots. Man. I'll never forget the LA riots because the Korean community got the brunt of the looting. Yeah. A lot of the black and brown anger kind of rested there.
They got hit hard.
Strategically. But you know what they did? They got gas masks. They got firearms.
They got straps.
Yeah. And they were like, listen, if the police aren't going to protect us, we're going to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. So if we decide, you know what? Let's get us free. Let's build this situation up. But this time when we build it up, everybody in every house is going to have a gas mask. Mm-hmm. Everybody in every house is going to have a 45.
That's right.
Everybody's going to have a machine gun. Not to use ignorantly. Yeah. This is to be used if some...
In case
some wild pack of fools come down my street with fire torches, they're going to be met with this Uzi.
That's right. Listen, I'm all about that kind of justice.
They are too.
Listen, they are all about that, man.
Yes.
So funny. Unrelated, but all related. My lady's son, he's in high school, but his father takes him hunting sometime.
Okay.
And listen, I'm not a big hunter. I've never done it, but I get it, I suppose. I guess it's a sport for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But I always joke that, you know, he's got a good aim. Like, this cat is prepared to shoot properly.
Wow.
Like, he knows how to handle a weapon.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So should anything go down, and I pray it does not, but he's ready to handle several kinds of firearms and pinpoint accuracy.
Wow.
Meanwhile, you drop some guns in the hood, it's cats shooting sideways, backwards.
Right.
They don't know where to aim. Right. It's all kind of, their pants are falling down. They're running.
Right.
And again, I'm not glorifying either side.
Yeah, we're not glorifying any of this.
But we're not really even being prepared for that kind of situation.
Right.
Unless you go to the military, and we know what that's all about.
Right.
So, man, we could talk for days about the issues in our community and really, to your point, circling back about the lack of infrastructure, which is there.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah. Or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
But it's like, do you want to dust off the cobwebs? Like, do you want to open up that book? It's like, whew, open up this book because we don't want to do that reading. But all the game is in there.
It's interesting. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and we were talking about just the overall lack of respect for elders amongst our community.
Terrible. It's awful.
Right. So then what happens is when the exception to the rule actually makes it all the way to the top, and they like, man, I got it out the mud. Didn't nobody help me? Blah, like, well, nobody probably helped you. And I'm not saying this for anyone in particular. I'm just saying, if you sit down and listen to your elder is going to give you the game you need so you don't have to literally get it from the mud.
Yeah.
You can actually get it from the table.
Right.
You can actually get it from the cabinet.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah.
Like, but it requires you to sit down and actually be humble. If you think about somebody like Run DMC.
Mm-hmm.
You think Run DMC could sell out Staples Center right now?
No.
Do you think that the Rolling Stones could sell out the Staples Center right now?
How many nights? How many nights? Listen, Mick Jagger's about 80 years old. He's still out there swinging around. Can barely hit his notes.
But my question to you is, like, that to me, I feel like is a portion of what I'm saying in reference to just the disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
Because why is that? How is that even possible?
Yeah.
That somebody who's like, so like, bro, every single person to a point, like Run DMC owes something to Grandmaster Flash, but a lot of, you know, our current artists, they owe it to Run because they were the ones that kicked down the door on MTV when
Aerosmith, come on.
Bro, do you remember when VH1 showed, bro,
videos? No.
When they showed negative, like they weren't even positive on showing one black person. There were no black people.
No, it took
on VH1.
It was like Michael Jackson.
It was Prince.
And Prince. It was the first catch to get. Mike kind of broke through on with like Billie Jean.
Yes.
And then Prince kind of got some love. And then Run DMC. You're right. So the fact is, man, we don't. It's incredible. Like we don't really respect. We don't respect our elders. We don't respect the people that have laid the foundation in music, in culture, in education, in politics.
Right.
So I was like, you old, like, yeah, that's, but get that game though. And culturally, you see other cultures and they really adore.
They do.
Their elders.
Yes, they do.
Put this, with the exception of grandma in the black community, we all love our grandmama.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the extent of it.
Mm-hmm.
Facts.
Yeah.
That's it. Grandmama can't do no wrong.
Yeah, but uncles.
Uncles, we ain't tripping. You know.
Now that drunk.
Aunties, she crazy. Grandpops, maybe. Rolling Stone, I don't know.
Right.
I mess with him. But grandma, you got songs, so soul food, right?
Right. So, I'll always love my mama. Always love my mama. Only get one girl.
Big mama? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Different kind of love for grandma. And oftentimes, she did a lot of the raising, so I get that too. You know?
Yep. Yep.
I completely understand the reverence for grandma, but
yeah,
when it comes to like music, yeah, we don't, they've got to do like, Run DMC would have to tour with like five other groups of that ilk to get a packed house. They couldn't be solo. They'd have to come out there with somebody else. Run DMC featuring BBD, featuring New Edition.
Yeah.
Let's throw in Silk. How about we mix in, right? You know what I'm saying?
Not Silk, though.
Happy Days. Like, no. Free Me was my shit. Quiet.
Say word, bro.
Spring 92.
Oh, my God.
But
great
yeah.
era. Great. But you know what? Because I find so many brands find motivation, like from 88 to like 93. That was an era to lighten the mood.
That's right.
Because we've been going so hard.
Yeah, yeah, lighten it up.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, this is the slow jammy jams.
Kevin Slow Jammy Jams.
You know what I'm saying?
Art LeBeau.
You know what I'm saying? Art LeBeau.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. You know, it was like 90 something.
Hey man, he was cool as a fan on the radio.
But you know what's interesting about Art LeBeau that he was always on like Sundays.
Yeah.
And like this is a white dude.
Yeah.
But what he was talking about was just so neighborhood. He'd be
it
like
was.
You know, Little Pookie from YA in Silmar wants to send a special shout out. That's what was so crazy was that like this dude was a mainstay.
Yeah, he was.
In any radio listener's household, but he was talking about like some real inner cities foolishness.
He was. I thought he was black.
I thought he
years.
Was too. Yes.
I don't think I found that he wasn't black until us a few years ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Art LeBeau is like, well, maybe this cat is like Creole.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But Art LeBeau, man, hey, man, rest in peace, bro.
Yeah, he was. He
peace
was,
to the God, man.
He was dope. But to your point, like, this peace to the God, real indeed. He made an impact, right?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Art LeBeau and like, they had a Rick Dees back in the day. Like,
oh,
Rick
man.
Dees. That was
bro.
My dude.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, you said that. And it segues into what you're doing next week with Spring Hill, like the shoot, like 88 to 93, like that era.
Yes.
Everything derives almost culturally from that little hip-hop, fashion, R&B.
Yeah.
You know, Black College, where I went to Grambling, like that whole different world.
Different
movement.
World, man. Yeah.
Like all those nuggets came from, listen, we could talk about the 60s were important, obviously.
Each era is important.
70s had that little liberation and blaxploitation and real great soul music. But the 80s kind of was a little bit more, it provided more of a crossover. That's when I felt like, I put you like this, you could have never told me in 2022 we'd have some of the same issues we have now based upon, because the 80s felt like we were turning a corner. It just felt like, I mean, economically, you know, my mom used to talk about Reaganomics. So I was too young to even understand what that meant. But, you know, at number one television number show on television, Cosby. Number one singer in the world was probably like MJ.
It wasn't probably. It
he
was
MJ. right? Number one basketball player, MJ.
Yeah.
Number one boxer, MT, right?
Right.
Right. And all of that, it seemed like we were on our way, and all of a sudden, you know, it just seems like we're, you know, taking steps backwards, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's always been set up for us too, guys. Sometimes I feel like to fail in some way, which is sad. But
the thing is, the failure comes with lack of infrastructure.
Goes back to that. Isn't it all about that?
There's a show on Netflix that Kia Barris did. Mm-hmm. And each show, he's like, because of slavery.
Oh, I love that show.
Because of slavery. And then the next episode is, yeah, motherfucker, again, because of slavery.
Yeah.
I forget the name of it. I think it's Black AF.
Black AF. I like that show. I like Kenya Beers. He's a sharp dude. Yeah, Black AF. It's cool.
But, I mean, I think that's the name of it.
It is Black AF.
But it's just people, I mean, like, again, it chimes back to how society says, black people, y'all will be all right.
You guys going to be cool.
Forget about that.
Yeah. But we've shown such a level of toughness. Like, I'm telling you, we are a resilient bunch.
We have to be.
We have to be.
We have to be.
When we fall, we have to get up a little quicker. Like, we can't have tantrums in the store. It's not going to fly. I see some of these kids falling out. Like, they've been blasted on. Like, get that little motherfucker up. He's all right.
Bro, I say that to people.
Get up.
Of any ethnicity. If I see a kid, my wife had to tell me, you got to quit talking to other people's children.
I do that sometimes.
But the thing is, I don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah.
If I see this little dude acting up, I'll go like this. I'll put my hand over my mouth, and you'll be surprised. A lot of times they actually
quiet. And I bet you're intimidated. I'm like, come on, man. And if his feet can touch the floor, he could probably walk.
Hey, man, I've seen those too. With the feet of dragon.
Come on.
Being pushed in the stroller.
That cat could probably walk at this point.
Man, get that dude up, man.
Come on, man.
Come on.
Look like he drove here.
Anyway. What you were saying. Oh, my God.
All I know is, ultimately, you know, there's so many layers to it. It's cool we do this because there's so many things to talk about culturally.
Mm-hmm.
And we really go in because I want us to win, you know. I was a corporate guy for 20 years, and I saw the dynamics of how that worked and how unfair it could be.
Towards?
Come on.
Oh, okay.
Like my uncle said, you can't do shit about your paint job.
Right.
And the reality is, when you go in certain rooms, I'm not one of them passable blacks. Like, I'm like, oh, you black.
Yeah.
You could dig deep and do an ancestry test. Like, oh, well, actually, he's from whatever.
When the police see you, you're black.
Come on.
Right.
It's as simple as that. So when you go in those boardrooms, even if you're selling product to black people, as I was, Tim's and New Balance, to a predominantly black audience, black and Latino, they kept us afloat. When I went in the rooms, it was just a few of us. And they say stuff like, what are we going to do for the urban market? I'm like, you guys, it's good to say black.
Right.
And I got so militant at the end, they're like, he probably can't be here anymore.
Right.
Because I almost felt like you guys are just disrespecting us culturally, but you're really milking us. It almost felt like drug sales in a weird way. Right?
Wow.
On that big brand level, smaller brands, black designers, it's a different story, you know, because you're investing back into the community in a lot of ways, and you live in the community.
Correct.
I'd always tell people I'm the only rep that lives in the city I service, because all my other partners or colleagues live in the suburbs. They'll just come in to sell and go back to the, right? I still lived in Leimert, off the Shaw.
Right.
He's capturing the Orange County, the Valley, New Jersey and New York. They weren't living in Brooklyn or the Bronx, right? That's just how it was different. But I saw inside how it's set up. And that's getting to the corporate level, which means you got to jump through a lot of hoops just to get to that point and make decent money.
Right.
And that's because I'm educated. But imagine the cats who don't have that luxury, you know, it's who have to ball or rap. But it circles back to your point. The infrastructure is there, too. You can start your own business. You can do other things. But you got to be willing to. Here's the bottom line. For black folks, we have to do a little bit more studying.
Yes.
For other people, you know, the answers are a little bit more visible. You could just click something. Like, oh, here it is right here. For us, this screen's cracked. We have to kind of like open up the book again. Old school.
Yeah. Yeah. I relate it to a faucet. Like, there's some faucets that are on Ethernet. They're smart. You can look at
them. Right.
And if you wink, maybe the water that's on, when you look at it, if you wink your right eye, it'll start to become lukewarm.
Right.
And wink again, it'll get hot.
Right.
Like, this is how I relate us mm-hmm. in terms of our opportunities. Then there are other faucets that you actually have to touch.
Yep.
And then you turn it on, and it's very easy.
Smooth.
It's like power steering.
Sure.
Our faucets, you got to use pliers.
Yeah, man.
Sometime.
Yeah.
Because and also when you're using the plier, you gotta spin that little spindle at the bottom to get it tighter.
Yeah.
Because it's been like tried so many times that it's stripped
mm-hmm.
with our opportunities. And the thing is, when you talk about like the gain is in the books,
yeah.
John Henry Clark was talking about, he said, I think every single black person should do a case study of Japan.
Yeah.
How after they bombed us and we bombed like how we just wiped them out. Mm-hmm. Right. And how they literally wasn't grandstanding. They said, you know what? Right here on our soil, we're going to figure this out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And America helped them.
Mm-hmm.
America sent them. The reason why Japan has such incredible denim is because it's woven on the looms that Levi's had.
How about that?
That's wow. why that's why their denim is so incredible. But that's just one part of the story. But what I'm saying is they actually invested in themselves.
Yep.
Did the reading, did the hard work, developed infrastructure, mm-hmm. and now they were like, you know what? We're popping so hard, we'll choose who we want to let in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody can't come and just set up and act a fool. Nah. Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's how I feel like we need to be just in terms of what we do. It's like nobody is forcing any of these perpetrators in terms of culture, I feel like the door is always unlocked.
Yep.
There is no gatekeeper.
No.
It's like
there's no security.
I mean, like if you can think of a beautiful, sprawling campus, beautiful house, beautiful grounds with gates all around it,
mm-hmm.
all the gates are unlocked.
All unlocked. Welcome.
Well, when it comes to us.
Come on in.
But when it comes to anything else. Any other group, it's like, yo, we have gatekeepers.
Yeah.
And the thing is, gatekeepers are important.
What's the password? You at least need the password. On our side, like, come on in.
Just come on in.
And we'll let you in.
Mm-hmm.
Give you a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe give you some weed. Like, come on in. Kick it with us.
Mm-hmm.
Pillage us.
Mm-hmm.
Get your cornrows up. Get your cornrows tight.
Get your fade.
You can sag, too.
Get your fade.
Get your fade. Talk. You change your language up. You're cool.
Mm-hmm. But then, when something happens, whoever that person is who is a visitor in our culture,
mm-hmm.
bro, when it comes down to the come down, they will let you know.
They will zip up that black suit so quickly, like, I'm cool.
Yeah.
We see it all the time. I've had colleagues and friends who do not holler anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I said the friend word that you use too loosely. I would say the two most important
associates.
Words, the two most overused words in the vocabulary are love and friend. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love you. No, you don't. You're my friend. We ain't cool.
Right. Like,
reality,
we're associates.
You know, I'm cool with you, but I'm cool on you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But the truth is, when it comes time to zip it up, like, okay, yeah, that never happened.
Like, right.
But
right.
That wasn't me. They don't want to kick it. But to your point, we're too free in letting people in our world, in our cipher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we almost feel like, and it circles back to Ye. And I think somebody made this point. It was Charlemagne made a really good point. He said, Ye really, he goes out of his way to get the white acknowledgement.
Hey everyone, it's Justin Biggs here from the Biggs vs. Biggs podcast. If you're a fan of sports podcasts, then be sure to check out and subscribe to Biggs vs. Biggs, a show that covers upcoming fights, fight reviews, and interviews with some of boxing's brightest stars. And it's brought to you exclusively by Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip hop, powered by creators.
Mm.
He really goes out of his way for that. Like, that's his whole little Candace Owens mission. That's kind of what he's on right now. Like, I really get the blessing from that side. Like, dude, please know they're not tripping off you, man. Please know. Please know we're the ones that have gotten to the point where you're making this Billy. And, you know, because we're so forgiving as a people.
Yes.
We'll look past everything like, oh, you know, he ain't on his meds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Say something anti-Semitic, you're in trouble, as he found out. Can't do that. And nor should you. Black folks gonna let you make it over and over again because we're tolerant. Like, yeah, you know.
But to your point, gatekeepers are important.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why gatekeepers are important, in my opinion, is because they're like a filter.
Sure.
Everything has a filter. Your car has a filter.
Mm-hmm.
Water systems have filters. Mm-hmm. Air conditioning systems have, like, everything has a filter because you can't let everything in.
That's right.
You just can't.
You can't let everything.
But the thing is, we do.
And it dilutes the water.
The greatness.
The greatness.
It really does. Let
everything in. I love that analogy. It's a filter.
Mm-hmm.
Your phone is a damn filter. You know what I'm saying? Let me make this picture look a little bit better.
Right.
We do that too willingly. Because on the flip side, you're right. You at least better know somebody at the door. It's like a secret society. Like, are you part of this country club?
Right.
We need your card. What's the code name? Who started this thing?
It's right.
Like a test. If you don't know, you're getting exit off the property.
Exactly. And to go deeper into that, what you just said is when you have a gatekeeper, if you let somebody in, that person is coming in off of an honor system of someone in our community that let you in.
That's right.
So once you get in, like, think about if you're in the party and they put the jam on.
Mm-hmm.
But you in there acting a fool. You in there dancing, spraying, you know, sweat on people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's fly girls in here. And they're like, man, who is this dude?
Who is this guy?
Like, the gatekeeper will come and tap you on the shoulder and say, you got
to
go.
Yeah, time to go.
You got
to
go.
Yeah.
But when you don't got no gatekeeper, the person to just be in the party acting a fool, and this one person acting a fool can ruin the time of everybody at the party.
That's right.
Bro, that's crazy.
Just one person can ruin a party.
One person. And in L.A., because I started coming to L.A., I'm from Altadena, as everybody knows. Started coming to L.A. for, like, the Fox Hills Mall, the Westchester football games,
sure.
Going to Deep, going to what was Prince's party?
Glam Slam.
Glam Slam. Mm-hmm. Two people fighting ruins the entire night.
Shut it down.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact same thing as it comes to culture and having no gatekeepers.
Yep.
If you ain't got no gatekeepers, somebody come up in your party, ruin it.
Yeah.
For everybody.
Happened in Westwood in 88. Because Westwood was a spot we would go every Friday night.
Hang out, know.
Chill, go to Tommy's, kicking it, go try to get the numbers. You would hang there. I was in high school then.
Yeah.
And then in 88, this young Asian girl got shot.
Yeah.
Because
the neighborhood also learned about Westwood too.
Yeah, they started driving. And they started coming to Westwood. Somebody got shot. Westwood has never been the same. This is 34 years ago.
Yeah.
Never been the same as it was at that. I remember kicking with Johnny Depp one night. 21 Jump Street, Johnny Depp one night with the same leather jacket.
Wow.
I was like, this is the best night of my life. And he was cool.
Wow. Right?
He won't remember it, but I do. I was like, man, what's up, G Depp? He's like, what's up, man? You're looking cool. I'm like, you too.
Wow.
Right. But that was the epicenter of all the energy back then. One night, one shot. Unfortunately, the young lady passed.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate.
Ain't never been the same.
Wow.
That's how it is.
And to your point in reference to Westwood, my sister used to go out there with her homegirl named Jo Beth.
Mm-hmm.
Jo Beth was a cool one, too.
Yeah, oof. Yeah.
Lived in Windsor Hills.
Wow.
Mom was black. Daddy was white. And this was when light-skinned people were at their zenith.
Oh, yeah. They were winning.
This is before Wesley, brother. So it was a sea of Christopher Williams and Albie Shore double G.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just they was winning.
They were winning.
And Joe Beth and my sister, they used to go to my mother would pick Joe Beth up, who lived in View Park,
mm-hmm.
who lived in Altadena, pick her up from View Park and then drive to Westwood to drop them off.
Yeah.
And I just remember I was like 13,
mm-hmm.
and I just remember how cracking it used to be.
Man, it was incredible. I mean. And again, we're in high school. These are college girls, and it just was a spot. When I tell you, every Friday night, my boy Dave Magerson, I don't know where Dave is now, but he had the VW van. He scooped me up. And I'd be waiting on the porch like I'm a child. You know what I'm saying? Wait for Santa. He'd come get me. I'm jumping the car. He's like, you always ready. I'm like, born ready. We get to Westwood, get to Tommy's. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we would be there from like 8 to 11 strong.
Yeah. Just walking around, just being young and free, bro.
And free. Maybe you get a phone number if you're lucky. You know, I was part of the Chaka crew, so I wasn't really winning like that. Back then.
Right.
Like, my gear was crisp. I was
right.
Like, he got a cool fade, but you know, that wasn't about the extent of it.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really getting many victories then.
Yeah.
But just to be in that environment was cool. But like you said, one night, we'll mess a party up, man. We are known to mess a party up. We will kill a party.
Well, I mean, I'm just, it just, again, it relates to, you know, you have to be accountable for yourself before you can be accountable for anyone else.
Indeed.
And, you know, one thing I love about, you know, the place that I grew up, Altadena and Pasadena, you know, church to the community, you know, the message was always believe in a higher something.
Mm-hmm.
Know who you are.
Yep.
Because by knowing who you are, you love yourself, which makes it easier to love other people.
Exactly.
Now, if you love yourself, you won't do certain things to yourself. And also, you won't allow other people to do things to you because you understand your place in the world.
Right.
You understand your contribution to not only like just the arts, but to culture. And culture is, you know, foundation.
Yeah.
Mathematics.
Yep.
Science.
Yes.
Music.
Yeah.
It's not just rapping.
Yeah.
It's everything.
Hieroglyphics. Like, it's real.
Like.
Yeah. Like, when they talk about hip hop culture, it's not just the music. It's the graffiti. It's mm-hmm. the dancing. It's all those things. It's the DJing.
Mm-hmm.
All those things that went into the hip hop culture.
Right.
And outside of the music or that culture within that subculture, there's, like you said, the mathematics, the engineering, the science.
Mm-hmm.
You know, schools don't do a good enough job in teaching us this. And unfortunately, kids don't really want to learn it like they should. Like, I was fascinated by that stuff based on the music kind of led me there. You know, I was fascinated by, like, KRS
mm-hmm.
and stuff you talk about.
Right.
Edutainment. So there was a whole, like, how can I get more game? And I just wanted to be smart. Like, I think it's cool to be able to spit some game like we're talking right now. This is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Get some wisdom. I don't want to be the guy that didn't have anything to say. There's nothing worse than that guy.
Right.
I walk away from the people. I have no conversation with everything going on in the world. There's nothing to discuss.
Right.
Right.
Facts. Right.
Or you're on the mic and you ain't really saying shit. You're wasting airtime. Like, spit some kind of game.
Right. Right.
But we got all that because of the education. So there's a fascination behind how do we learn how to, you know, I like the mathematics because it's really, like I tell my son,
it's universal.
And the cool thing about math is it's either right or it's wrong. There's no gray area.
Word.
You could bullshit your way through English, and I did. Like, okay, well, I see what you meant by this, Joe. Right? What you were saying was, like, that's right.
Right.
It was more subjective.
Right.
Math is not. It's like, Yeah, that's wrong.
Right.
But there's a cool thing about that, too. There's a science to that, and science is always fascinating. You know, Kyrie, the world is not flat. Okay.
Right. I don't understand how that's still a topic of conversation.
I don't even know why I brought it up. But it just is like, come on. You know, there's some things that come out like, come on, man. Got to believe in the science.
But let me ask you this. Where, you know, we were talking about like Run DMC versus like Rolling Stones
mm-hmm.
and the respect level that's there. I don't feel like that Run DMC gets thoroughly disrespected. I just feel like they don't get all of the respect.
Yeah.
And they're one in a line of several mm-hmm. artists who like, you know, when we as artists are hot, we are scorching hot. But if we get cold,
ice cold.
It is Todd Bridges cold.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Super cold.
Yeah.
But the thing is, in reference to like just how we see each other once the popularity isn't there, it's a term that I hear a lot of kids say. It's called washed.
He's washed.
I think it's washed.
He's washed. That's and it's awful.
You know what? When LeBron came here and he got hurt that first year, mm-hmm. you know there were people saying that he was washed? Here's a man who probably went to more finals than probably anyone.
Yeah.
And his brother missed one playoff,
yeah.
and he's washed?
He's washed.
How is that word even in our vernacular?
Man, Russell Wilson getting it right now, too. He can't play no more.
He really is getting it.
Yeah, and, you know, I'd argue that he's still got some talent. This is kind of a tough time. It happens. Football's tough. Sports is tough. He got to off the field. You never know what's happening.
Yeah.
Cats to concentrate. But, yeah, it's unfortunate. Like, when we are – if we're not riding high with the hits – we're washed, and it's so bad only in our culture.
That's so amazing to me.
Because the white boys, they can tour for 30 years off one cut. Like, just play that one jam, and we'll listen to the other ones. God forbid you have a couple cool albums. Don't be that group that has about 3 or 4 albums, Fleetwood. You're good forever.
Forever.
Forever. Forever.
Fleetwood Mac, Steely Dan.
Come on.
Chicago.
U2, they're good.
Yeah.
They're Genesis and all them cats. They're good.
So, like, we're like the Delphonics.
We couldn't pick them out of a lineup.
We didn't even have to go that far back. Tony.
Solid. Where are they right now? They have to do those tours.
Where it's like one with, they're like five other
bands. Because we wanted to go out just to see Raphael, who's a genius, and his fam do their thing. It's unfortunate. But only us,
though.
We're flavor of the month, man. We want it now. If you're not cool anymore, we're going to move off of you quick. Somebody said, I'm not a big, I don't know a lot of the young guys. I know who the baby is. And they're saying, like, he's washed up right now. I'm like,
the baby? They're saying the baby is washed up? Which
I read
one?
That somewhere.
Wait, because there's several different babies, you know.
Yeah, there's a few babies.
There's Baby from Cash Money. Then there's Da Baby.
There's Little Baby.
Lil Baby.
I think it's Da Baby. And I don't know these cats too well. But I know I read somewhere, I'm like, man, that cat just had a cut last year.
Wait, is that the one who made the comment about?
Maybe that's why.
Him. Okay.
I think he's getting some backlash.
Well, I mean, he got a lot of backlash when he said it.
Yeah. But musically, I'm sure he's still kind of got some cuts. I don't know, man.
But they're saying he's washed?
Let me tell you something.
Wow.
At least in our era, I'll give us credit. We still will support. If you come up with a jam, like how we still love our New Editions and those groups that came out that 88 to 93 window.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our Mary J's. We're going to roll with you. Because we're older now. We want to just dance and feel good about it. But these young kids, their attention span is short.
Yeah.
And there's so many flooding the mix of now. Like, you don't even need to have a record deal to put a record out.
Right.
So everyone's got a record out.
Right.
Shit, we might as well drop something. Why not?
Oh,
might go gold. Like, yeah, like a little cut.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm saying? Why? You never know.
But, we cannot put it on any of the streaming services because, bro, I was reading this. Well, not reading. I was listening to this interview that Mos Def did about the Black Star album and why they placed it on Luminary versus placing it on Tidal or iTunes or Spotify.
Music, sure.
And it was just like just the aggregate on how they come up with how they're going to pay you on streams is like beyond criminal.
It's criminal.
It's like beyond criminal.
Wow. And I don't even know how that works. I should. But yeah, but I have heard that the stream, that it's, your music's out there, but it's awful.
Like, you got to get, like, I forget the brother's name, but he's a new artist, and he was like, you got to hear my song. I forget the number of times he said, you got to hear my song played 70 times or 700 times for me to get a dollar. It was
That's
something
insane.
So, and in all actuality, John, he could have said 7,000 times.
Yeah.
But if your song is played one time, you should be getting a dollar.
I would think so.
Period.
I mean, back in the days, if you were on like a major label, you know, those deals used to be criminal too, but you could benefit from touring, right? Before the 360 deal, Lior used to get cats with those.
Mm-hmm.
You could. He invented that joint. Like, I need that merch too, all that.
I need to be involved in all that.
I need all that.
And if you're not educated, you're going to sign that over.
You're going to sign it over. But how they hyped you was, but you're going to have big budget video, the tour. So that was enticing. Like, God, I'm going to be on TV all the time. My videos are crisp.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching, I might have been the Murder, Inc. doc or something recently.
Yeah.
And God bless those cats. I don't know them, but, you know, they had some jams for sure. And Ja Rule had some cuts. And I was watching one of his videos. And I was like, I forgot about this. This was a solid jam.
Yeah.
And the video was just glossy. And it might have been a hype joint. Everything was rich.
Yeah.
Everybody was looking like it was just a film.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't exist anymore, you know.
Those videos?
No.
Do they really even do videos like that anymore?
Mm-mm, not like that.
I wonder why they stopped doing videos.
The cost, probably. I mean, you know, these cost $500,000, $1 million videos.
John, it doesn't cost $1 million to do a video.
It doesn't now. But Diddy was up here hanging on the side like he was Mad Max. You know what I'm saying? What he was doing? Bond. You know what I'm saying? Sparks flying off of niggas and shit. Shades.
We got the real life from front to back.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, you know.
Yeah, those were crazy videos.
These niggas are helicopters and Rolls Royce in the desert. That wasn't cheap.
You talking about when him and Mace had on
the matching little joints?
Yeah.
Like, who shot that right there?
Yeah,
that's Scorsese.
Yeah, and that joint blew up in the background.
Come on, that alone was about 100 racks
everywhere.
Yeah,
and on the stage, you know, they just don't care.
That was a cut, but them videos weren't cheap.
Correct. Well, brother, we are at 59 minutes.
That's beautiful.
and 26, 27, 28, 29. Is there anything that you want to share prior to wrapping up this inaugural IG session of the Measurables?
And it's cool because we spout on some really good wisdom today. We're gonna keep doing this, man. You know, we gotta, Boz interviews the G's in fashion and culture. You know, every now and again we're gonna jump in and have these sessions. Right. I think there's a lot for us to discuss. But really, man, I'll circle back to what you said a few times. We need to understand our infrastructure.
Yes.
And I'm speaking to myself when I say it. I have a tendency to, you know, almost get lost in the sauce too. Like, it's the answers are right in front of us. We just have to dig a little deeper for them. Once we master that, I don't know if we're going to catch up, but we could be in the hunt.
Just at least at the party.
Just in
the parking lot.
That's right. We do that.
Because at least you can hear the music from the parking lot. You can't hear nothing from the house.
No, you can at least dance in the parking lot. Parking lot pimping.
I mean, hey. Yeah. Thank y'all very much for tuning in. This is The Measurables.
Love. Peace.
Peace.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.